Morning. First off, it's good to see you again.
You too, Tom. Good morning.
Hey, there's a reason why I invited you in. I had read a story recently, and I've been watching this very closely in small communities and big communities alike, struggling with insurance for their state and city, or excuse me, for their city employees. And when I read about the decision-making at Carterville, my first thought is you must have blackmailed somebody at the insurance company because there's so much trepidation about this right now, especially when it comes to the premium, one, and two, the deductible. So what did you do for Carterville employees this year?
Well, our current carrier, Blue Cross Blue Shield, had an increase of about 16.5%. And that really wasn't going to be sustainable for us as a city unless we put that burden on the employees, and we really didn't want to add to their premiums at all. So we went shopping. We worked through our broker and very diligently looked for other options. And there are always options, Tom, but finding one that's cheaper but it doesn't have any in-network providers locally doesn't do a thing for our employees.
It's a constant negotiation. You get so much dental, you don't get the vision, but you get a deductible of $4,500, but you have to pay $247 every 2 weeks. I mean, you have this incredible balancing act that goes on. And I noticed what appeared to me was, did you actually see a reduction in the deductible?
We did. We are switching service providers from the one we currently have to Aetna. And what we found with Aetna is they have over 400 in-network providers in Southern Illinois, including all the hospitals. And we actually ask our managers and supervisors to gather a list of physicians and providers from all of our employees, anyone that wanted to provide that. And we ran all of those through the network. And so we made sure that everybody's physicians and mid-levels and their facilities were covered before we even made a transition.
And that's another one of those important items. Although the mantra has been, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. It's a little different context. Insurance companies have always had preferred carriers where they have worked out a deal, whether it's a pharmacy, maybe a doctor, a general practitioner, ear, nose, and throat guy, whatever the case.
Right.
This is a problem for every single town in Southern Illinois. I've been watching the other communities, and they've all been struggling with this. How long did it take you to get through this, and for how many people were we talking about in the group?
We have about 47, 45 employees in that neighborhood that qualify for insurance, and it took us a few months to shop and make sure that we found the right one. And that they had their providers were in network, so it wouldn't have a detrimental effect on our employees. And not only did we find one that had everyone in network, but it was cheaper. So we're actually
shouldn't that go first? it was cheaper, and everybody was in network because that is. I mean, I literally can a mutual friend of ours, sent me a photograph of their insurance bill. Single female, Carterville, works the insurance place right down the road and saying, I can't afford this. And quite frankly, I couldn't afford it either. And this concern is everywhere, but city employees, when they're in these groups, at least you get some benefits. But I've seen a number of cities who have said, look, I'm sorry, but your insurance is going up in this year. 16%
right.
Increase, hard to swallow.
It would have been. And so we're fortunate to be able to find an alternative that actually works out better. The deductible stayed the same. But once you meet your deductible with the old plan, then it went to 80-20. With Aetna, it's 100% co-insurance after you reach your deductible.
Right.
So we actually got a benefit there.
Yeah.
And we're going to save over $76,000 annually, and with no increase to any of the employees and same or better coverage.
A $76,000 savings in insurance while people get a better deal in insurance, almost unheard of in Illinois right now or any place else, small town USA.
Yep.
That's one of the items, because I think people sometimes realize $76,000 that you're saving is property taxes and taxes and income and taxes from your community. That's the way I look at it, is you're saving me money. And I think a lot of other people think that way, too. A couple of other items. I got a little shopping list, if you don't mind.
Sure,
run down
go
Carterville.
Ahead.
I talked to an area businessman, and I know it's not in your community, but I was told yesterday that the Pioneer's Cabin – on Route 13, Craneville, Ron, Craneville. We're just talking to Ron, in case he's listening in Craneville this morning. And I know it's right next to you, but I heard that was sold.
That's what I've heard as well. And even though it is in Craneville, we're not necessarily competitors. Rising waters raises all ships. So I'm glad to hear that that building's going to be occupied and that business is coming into the area.
Brings life into that whole frontage road area there.
Absolutely. And
the front door, the welcoming mat looks better. Like I said, I did confirm this with the one of two purchasers yesterday morning, although he's asked me not to talk about it yet. They've already been in the place cleaning it up. Another item. When I was reading that you have hired, my understanding for the first time, a deputy chief of police in Carterville?
Yeah, this is actually the second one.
Is it?
Yeah, we hired one last year, and he left, and we filled that position with a gentleman named Mike Flanagan, originally from South Elgin Police Department. And one of the things that we really liked as the city of Carterville when we talked to Mr. Flanagan was his years of experience with South Elgin. When he started with that community, the population was about 7,500. And when he left to come here, it was over 22,000. So he has a great deal of experience in dealing with a growing police department and a growing community. And those are some of the challenges that we have and opportunities, but also challenges from a police perspective. So we really like the experience that he brings to the table.
I was talking to a Carterville resident last night. Three sons went through the Carterville School District. Yep, they're coming over. They're coming to Carterville because of our school district. I'll tell you right now, that's why they're coming. Literally, that conversation I had last night, except he used a lot of really harsh words saying they wish they wouldn't. But he says, I know why they're coming. Coming to my town, my school district. So you're welcome was his thought on this. Now, I'm a frequent user of your park, Cannon Park, and for years, Murfreesboro. Now, they have a dog park, I mentioned this to you on the phone when we were talking. Literally, there were six cars in the parking lot. Four of the six in Murfreesboro were from Missouri. Apparently, not a lot of dog parks. You're building one in Carterville. Work's already started.
Yes, we are. We've partnered with the Carterville Area Rotary Club. And they are doing the fundraising, the prep work. They've done a great deal of labor to this point, cleaning the site and getting it ready. The site is behind the community center there in Cannon Park. In fact, if you pull in the parking lot behind the community center, you'll already see the sidewalk. We partnered with John A. Logan's Construction Trades Program, and they actually provided the concrete and the labor and have run our sidewalk from the parking area to the proposed dog park site.
Just south of the baseball park, right? Is that right?
Yes.
South of the baseball field.
Yep,
okay.
That's correct.
That's that first park when you're coming up by the Crab Orchard golf course.
Yep.
It's first on the left, I think, past you, drive past the big house, brown house, and next left. I was kind of curious about that because that is something a lot of resources have been in. Since I walk there frequently, you and I both trying to lose a little weight, it's a good place to do it.
Yeah.
And then I look over and I notice there's always this. Matter of fact, I talked to a couple of the park people there who were cleaning up the other day, and they're talking about, you know, clean this and that, whatever the case. And then they had mentioned to me that the dog park won, and they'd also mentioned there was going to be some future construction on the site.
Yes. We received a grant from a local foundation last year for a little over $300,000, and it's to go towards a concession stand. And we're going to place that down on the east end of Cannon Park in between the soccer fields and the Little League football fields over on the Dent Street side. They've been pretty far removed over there with soccer and football, so we're going to place a concession stand there that has plumbed restrooms, handicap accessible parking and sidewalks. It's going to have a concession area, storage, and it'll also have a canopy and a respite area there by the concession stand to get out of the sun or the weather.
Well, with Carterville being a sports town, and I mean that literally, got to go see the boys and girls play soccer, baseball, softball at Cannon Park, but there's also... You got Carterville Fun Days, you've got the parade, you've got July 4th, the fireworks display, you got all the stuff that goes on in that park every year, so it's a multi-purpose. It's not just about the Little League teams going out to play baseball. That's a big part of the community. So
yes, and with that grant, we are connecting the restrooms up by the lake and the pavilion.
Yep.
They're actually on holding tanks right now, and we have to pump those out, and it requires
really?
A great deal of maintenance. Part of this grant is actually connecting them to sanitary sewer.
Good.
So we'll get rid of the tanks in the pump station and having to have the trucks come in and pump them. So
what I really would like you to be able to do, but in this world of vandals, I don't know whether you could. I'd really like to be able to run those during the winter. Sometimes I notice at my age, after I've walked a mile or so, I very often eye the men's room with a certain amount of contempt when it says closed for the season.
Yeah.
I understand why, but send heaters.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to put that on our list.
Okay.
That's a good idea,
right.
Because you're not the only one that's run into that problem.
Yeah.
I have too.
Nice people there, and go there very regularly, and I enjoy it. It's a really nice park. That cannon that whenever I drive through at the front, Is that Fred Washburn's cannon?
No.
Okay.
That cannon was purchased years ago. I want to say somewhere in Missouri. That was purchased back when I was a firefighter at the fire department. And
well, Fred's keeps his down at the house for protection. Can't well, even
this,
hide behind
this one
a refrigerator.
Is incapable of firing. So.
Okay, good. Just let that know. Hey, I appreciate you coming in this morning. Before I let you go, Illinois budget, 18 months. I think we all start to not look to Springfield for answers, start looking to ourselves. What's the biggest problem that you see for not just Carterville, but small towns in southern Illinois in relationship to the state budgets? What are you seeing and what are you hearing from your fellow mayors in respect to that financial situation in Illinois and surviving it?
Well, two of the biggest concerns that I hear from the mayors when I talk to them is number one is the concern of local government distributive funds. If the state continues to run without a budget, are they going to take away portions or all of the city's and municipalities, the local government's share of the sales tax? When you pay state sales tax, 1% of that goes back to the local government. So, and there was talk of that when Governor Rauner first came into office, and that did not occur, but that is always on the mind of local mayors and village board presidents. And I think secondly is, as we continue to grow and move forward, and whether you're I feel we're a growing community in Carterville, or whether you're not necessarily growing at the same pace, but you still have maintenance issues that you want to deal with.
In Carterville, it's really been water, it seems to be, because I talked to guys at the water department. They say, you don't understand, this cast iron is 112 years old, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And we have been replacing water lines. We have a new pump station. We've replaced a number of water lines throughout town. We continue to do that. But one of the struggles for local government is, do we put some of these projects on hold because we're not sure what's going to happen with the budget? And I think when we have an opportunity, the longer you wait, the more things are going to cost.
The more it costs.
So it's really a struggle. Do we move forward and continue to try to remain solvent and hope the state doesn't take any revenues away? And when they do, we'll have to regroup and rethink.
It's going to be an interesting proposition, especially since we may be hearing something today, tomorrow out of the Senate, see if something moves. Brad, I appreciate you starting your day with us, man.
Certainly.
Really
thank
do.
You.
And good luck.
Thanks.
Keep thinking. There was something else I wanted to talk to you about, too. There's so much.
Our crosswalk at the intermediate school.
At the middle school, yeah?
Yeah, we put in a crosswalk at the junior high last
year. That was one of the
year.
Items you received a grant money for, wasn't it?
No, this one's on us. We put a crosswalk in front of the junior high school. We have now purchased the materials, and we're going to do the same thing in front of the intermediate school. Division Street has gotten so busy. We want to make sure there's a safe way for the kids to get across Division. So that's coming this spring as well.
And you're absolutely right. Very busy. 7:30.